It's just past 8:09 in the morning. You're listening to Upfront. My name is Brian Edwards-Taker. We're going to pick up with the election that took place in Brazil over the weekend. This is a runoff election for the presidency. And with 55.2% of the vote, a commanding majority, the president-elect of Brazil is fringe right political figure Jair Bolsonaro. Bolsonaro is someone who it would have been unimaginable to see ascend to the presidency just a few short months ago. His comments on the fringes of political discourse are legion, sexist, homophobic, anti-immigrant, pro-rape, pro-prison, pro-torture. Here's one from 1999. Elections won't change anything in this country. Quote, it will only change on the day that we break out in civil war here and do the job that the military regime didn't do, killing 30,000. If some innocent people die, that's fine. In every war, innocent people die. A great affection for the former military dictatorship that ruled Brazil. The question we're going to tackle is, how did this happen? And what does it mean for the months ahead? Brazil, of course, the most populous country in Latin America, contains the planet's lungs, the Amazon rainforest, which the president-elect apparently has quite some interest in logging, and is the world's eighth largest economy and a dominant player among developing nations. We're joined over Skype by Pedro Paulo Zaluth Bastos, professor of political economy at the State University of Campinas in Brazil, a visiting scholar at UC Berkeley. He's in Campinas right now. Thank you for joining us. Professor Bastos? Sounds like we're having some trouble connecting to Professor Bastos. We're going to take a... Hello, Professor Bastos.
Yes, yes, I'm here. Yes.
Great.
Can you listen to me?
Yeah, we can hear you fine now. So why don't you start by walking us through how it came to be that someone with the politics of Jair Bolsonaro became a viable political candidate? How did this happen?
Bolsonaro got like 55% of the valid votes and 45% for the PT, the Workers' Party candidate, that's Fernando Haddad. But
Professor Bastos, we're having a little bit of issue with your volume. Can you speak louder, please?
Okay. When it comes to the total votes, can you listen to me now better? Is it okay?
It's still Hello? A bit soft.
If you can maybe put your mouth closer to the microphone, that might help.
Okay.
I think that's better.
How's it now?
That's better.
Okay. But when it comes to the total votes, Bolsonaro had 39 because the total of abstention and null votes was 31% of 42 million, right? And Bolsonaro got 57, almost 50 million votes. So actually, just a little bit less than 30% of the citizens that could vote voted for him, right? And the reason that a guy like him could reach this high is that there was a huge dissatisfaction in Brazil because of the cases of political corruption, the economic crisis that for now we are already in a recession for almost 4 years, and a lack of reputation both of the traditional politicians and parties. And also the experts, especially the economists that advocated austerity. And social democracy, as you know, is being hollowed out by globalization and austerity all over the world. And here in Brazil, the Workers' Party, during the administration of Dilma Rousseff, enacted the austerity program, and we had this huge recession in 2015-2016. And second, the corruption scandals tarnished the Workers' Party and its politicians lost popularity. Lula da Silva, who was a former president, kept some popularity, but he was imprisoned 6 months ago due to a botched judicial process that many jurors here and internationally also believe that was rigged. And after Rousseff impeachment, that also many jurists in Brazil and worldwide call a parliamentary coup. The administration led by the former vice president, Michel Temer, had an even worse record when it comes to corruption and economic performance, at least as seen by public opinion polls, right? So it went into deep dispute and brought together a vast array of center and center-right parties that backed the impeachment and backed Temer's administration also, and tried to block the car wash corruption investigation, right? So Bolsonaro actually filled a political vacuum, and he penetrated in many places that were the PT's, Workers' Party's strongholds in poor regions in Brazil, in the urban peripheries especially. But actually people don't realize that Bolsonaro backed austerity with the Temer administration and maybe even wants to deepen it, right? And in a way, Bolsonaro was emerging along these years as the only politician that was perceived as honest, ethical, and an outsider politician, even though he's been a congressman for almost 28 years now. And his sexist remarks sometimes are seen for many people, that the opinion polls show it, as an example of how honest he is, right? And people cannot stand traditional politics any longer. So his rise is a symptom of a crisis of political representation because of these corruption scandals, and also the demonization of politics in part because of the scandals that the TV publicized with.
Do you have a sense from polling yet of how much this election outcome was a consequence of people changing their political allegiances versus the left-wing voting base staying home and new right-wing voters coming out? In other words, was this a mobilization outcome or a persuasion outcome?
Yes, I think it was much more a persuasion outcome, because Bolsonaro got also votes from the former center-right party, which is PSDB, center-right party, and at least like 10% of people who voted for PT decided to vote for Bolsonaro, especially in places in the north of the country, but also in the urban peripheries of the richest states, right?
So why did you see the center-right parties lining up behind him? Do they see some advantage from backing his presidency? Do they not take his word seriously?
Yes, they believe that they can control him in a way, that the Brazilian institutions are healthy, and that Bolsonaro wouldn't be able to enact a political coup or military coup, right? And on the other hand, they have the same economic program, a lot of new liberal reforms, a very radical labor reform, and also the pension reform, and a vast program of privatization of public assets. And so when it comes to the economic program, they are aligned for the last 3 years, actually, right? But Bolsonaro looks like an outsider, and it's possible that his honeymoon with the electorate, if he really enacts his austerity program that he would be candidate for Ministry of Finance, defense, probably his honeymoon with the electorate will be very short. And so people don't know what can happen here if he loses popularity soon, right?
Well, if he does lose popularity, what kind of institutional checks are there? The National Congress was not up for election this year, correct?
No, it was up for election also. And his party, with the Party of Social Liberty, got like 52 52%, but just 52 congressmen is more or less like 10% of the total of the parliament. So he will have to have the backing of all the center-right parties. But people believe that most of these parties wouldn't back him if he would try to enact a coup, a concentration of power by democratic means like Kaczynski, Erdogan, Orban did in other places, as you know, of course. But one very important reason of why he got elected is that public safety in Brazil is very important, even though it is the responsibilities of the states and not the federal government, not the union. But his stance on crime was very popular with not only wealthy people, but very many poor people in Brazil. He used to say that a good criminal is a dead criminal, right? And he would possibly liberate or enact new legislation that would allow policemen to kill with much more freedom than before. And in Brazil, public safety is not a small issue in Brazil. We had last year 63,000 people murdered. And in Brazil, 7 of the 20 most violent cities in the world are located here, right?
So authorizing increasingly aggressive police violence, this is not something where you would expect the center-right to check him.
Yes. Yes, yes, correct.
And imposing austerity policies is not something where you would expect the center-right to check him.
No, I don't think so.
So are you saying the only check is that they might prevent him from becoming dictator for life?
Yes. And also, we can say that Brazil has a solid judicial branch, and all the main judges of the Supreme Court, last week when it transpired that the Bolsonaro's son had made some comments of closing the Supreme Court. He was recorded talking to some students like 3 months ago only. But he said something quite similar in the Congress also. And most of the judges were very aggressive against his position on this. And Bolsonaro, at least rhetorically, he backed it down. He said that his son was crazy saying these things, and he vowed to respect the Constitution, right? And of course there are a lot of people who vote for him who are racist, homophobic, violent. But we have to realize also that the center-left and left parties in Brazil have also some responsibility for what happened, because a lot of people are feeling disenchanted with politics. And of course, if the usual parties had been able to answer this dissatisfaction, we would not have, not even thinking of have a candidate as radical as Bolsonaro of having a chance of becoming president in Brazil.
Can you talk about that a little bit more, the transition from Lula to where we are now and how we got here?
Yes. In Brazil, we received also the shock of the world recession, of the financial crisis, but Brazil could recover in 2010, but was growing with a decreasing rate until 2014. And 2015, Dilma Rousseff was re-elected, and she decided to enact an austerity program. And Brazil went into a huge recession, because this austerity program was pro-cyclical, because it coincided with the business cycle, right? The slowdown of the economy, of the financial cycle, etc. And this car wash operation, 2014, the end of 2014, started working. And
explain that operation, because I'm not sure that all listeners know, and you refer to the car wash operation, what that means.
Okay. It's related with graft in the state oil company called Petrobras, right? So a huge amount of money, like $5 to $10 billion, was siphoned off Petrobras, and both to finance political campaigns, but also to enrich some politicians and middlemen, right? And the fact is at first, at least, this operation was directed mostly towards PT, even though
Even though
many of the center-right and center parties were also involved, right? And so that helped the center-right parties to impeach Dilma in 2016. But they couldn't present also a stable environment, political and economic environment, because just after they got into power, this car wash operation was directed towards them also, right? And so people became very disillusioned with both the left parties and the center-right or right parties, traditional ones at least. And that's where was created this political vacuum that that Bolsonaro filled, right? And okay.
We're speaking to Pedro Paulo Zaluth Bastos, professor of political economy at the State University of Campinas in Brazil. He's also a visiting scholar at UC Berkeley, although he joins us from Campinas, Brazil. Since you're on the ground in Brazil, I was wondering if you could describe the mood where you are. What have the past couple of days looked like?
Well, there are some cases of political violence, because a lot of backers of Bolsonaro are violent, right? As you know, there was this murder of Marielle Franco this year, last March. And there's been also a spike of political violence in Brazil. It's not like Mexico, at least from till now. But for the last two years, there's a huge spike of political killings in Brazil, right? But also the mood in the streets, a lot of authoritarian personalities are trying to intimidate left politicians and militants, right? So, of course, you know that fascism starts in the streets, right? And the mood here is very, very aggressive. And let's see if Bolsonaro yesterday said that he would like to pacify the country, but we don't know exactly what's going to happen, as I told you, when his honeymoon ends. And it's possible that it will end in this first year in office, right?
Pedro Paulo Zaluth Bastos, could you describe the media environment in Brazil, where people are getting their information from? From what little I've read, it sounds like a lot of the Bolsonaro campaign's resources were invested into buying advertisements on social media, not traditional communication channels.
Yes, exactly. That's very important, because I mean, the role that social media had in Brazil is probably even more important than the role that it had in both Obama and Trump's election, right? Well, in the first round, Jair Bolsonaro had no TV time in the political program that candidates have in Brazil, according to the size of the parties in the parliament. But he had free time in commercial TV, and dominated the news cycle because he was stabbed just in the beginning of the campaign, right?
An assassination attempt while he was at a campaign event.
Exactly. He was known for only half of the Brazilian electorate, and suddenly everybody came to know him, right? And of course, he appeared as a victim of political violence instead of a perpetrator. And And also, he usually committed many mistakes when improvising. He used to lose votes, saying all these absurdities that some of them that you mentioned already, right? After that, he could make a stage appearance on Facebook Live every time, just talked with Facebook Live, hardly talked with reporters, and attracted even more followers than he already had. He was the most followed politician in Brazil, both on Twitter, Facebook, and WhatsApp. And the important thing here, what's the difference from US, because US, of course, Facebook is very important, Twitter also, but WhatsApp is the most important social media in Brazil.
And WhatsApp is a social media property owned by Facebook.
Facebook, I know that. Forgot, 5 years ago, Facebook made an agreement with the network providers in Brazil so that customers wouldn't pay for the data traffic when using WhatsApp. So for many, especially the most poorest Brazilians, it was the first and only means of being informed, if not by TV, right? For many of the Brazilian poorest, there's no time and resources, sometimes even the capacity of understanding complex taxes, to read in newspapers, websites, the blogosphere. So the images and easy messages that this WhatsApp, the WhatsApp provides without any kind of transparency, turned it into an ideal vehicle for political propaganda and the spread of fake news, as something that Bolsonaro campaign was very specialized in, right? And Stephen Bannon actually came to Brazil last July and gave free constancy to Bolsonaro political campaign for like 3 weeks, and possibly with the help of Cambridge Analytica, right? And in the last week of the second round, like 10 days ago, it surfaced that many business people contributed $3 million each to fund the automated spread of fake news by specialized firms on WhatsApp. Even buying the numbers and the registry of the numbers, the phone numbers of many voters, right? So the total amount that a candidate in Brazil can spend is $80 million. And each business people contributed for $3 million, right? So it's illegal, corrupt, of course. But the playing field had a huge slope in Bolsonaro's favor. And it is being investigated now. And the Supreme Court possibly will act first, the electoral justice. And then the Supreme Court will discuss this next year. But probably, right, he will, of course, probably after he of course, is sworn in.
In the United States, we call that closing the barn door after the horses have left. Pedro Paulo Zaluth Bastos, that's all the time we have. Thank you so much for joining us.
Okay, thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Pedro Paulo Zaluth Bastos is a professor of political economy at the State University of Campinas in Brazil, currently also a visiting scholar at UC Berkeley, although he was live with us over Skype from Campinas, Brazil.